Brethren, it's a real privilege for Sister Rebecca and I to be with you. It's a joy for us to be with you. And we do bring you love from our children, Jonathan and Jordan, their wives, Bethany and Becky. And we also bring you greetings from our Ecclesia in New Brunswick and especially our Wednesday night meeting, where some others attend as well who are not from our Ecclesia. They all greet you with love. We ourselves are thrilled with the lessons of the day and some personal opportunities for fellowship that we had with different brethren so far. I'm going to take a pause here, unbeknownst to Sister Rebecca, and mention my lovely assistant, and just mention that one of the fellowship opportunities brought to me a copy of the International Jerusalem Post with a picture of Mr. Sharon, Mr. Bush, and the gentleman from the PA. It is an interesting picture, but what's even more interesting to me is the open letters that appear inside, one to Mr. Bush and one to Mr. Sharon, calling upon them to recognize the authority of the Bible. And if you haven't received a copy of God's Roadmap, I would like to encourage you to ask us about it. We'll send you a copy. New Brunswick had that as one of their newsletters. You can also download it from the internet at Bible411.com. God's Roadmap for the Middle East and the world. The reason I mention this one is because here are men of faith who are identifying the fact that God has in fact promised the land to his people. And we just feel that if you don't have this and you want to get it, once again, it's probably not downloadable from the internet. But you might want to call the Jerusalem Post's number and ask them for a sample copy. Maybe they'll send you one. However it works out, I think you'll enjoy reading it. You might even ask Brother Ed to see this at another time. I have it first, though. This is not exactly the kind of vesper that you may be used to, where we all participate many times, or many participate a few times. This is a little different, and we trust that the Lord will bless our time together during this service.
Oh, the voice of angels.
Jerusalem, eternal city, capital of Israel, the Israel we love. For 3,000 years, Jerusalem has never been forgotten. The return to the Western Wall of the Temple Mount in 1967 was awe-inspiring, and it was jubilant. Even when Jews joyfully celebrate their weddings, they do not forget Jerusalem. And so Jewish men break a glass under their foot to remember the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem and to recite the scripture, "If I forget thee, O Jerusalem." During their 70-year desolation, and it was 70 years, and later during their diaspora, Jerusalem remained lovingly and longingly in Jewish hearts. From Psalm 137, we read, "By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, Sing us a song, one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy."
By the waters of Babylon, we sat down and wept when we remembered thee, when we remembered thee, when we Thank you.
Jerusalem, the eternal city, burdensome stone. Jerusalem, heavy stone, immovable rock. Someone once said that there is no city on earth whose name evokes such awe, such thoughts of holiness. Only one city on this earth has ever been chosen as a site for God's holy temple. A place where God would meet with man. Actually, Jerusalem's location violates all the ancient human laws of establishing cities. It lacks a seaport or a river for commerce. It is not the highest or most defensible location. But God chose it. And for 3,000 years, Jews have either lived here or longed to return. Some in daily prayer, remembering Jerusalem, and virtually all others at Passover, saying next year in Jerusalem. Israel. The name inspires. Israel. The name evokes memories. Israel. The name brings tears of joy. Only one small sliver of real estate was ever promised by God to any group of human beings. Israel is Jacob. Israel is the sons of Jacob. Israel is a kingdom. And Israel is God's people. Israel is God's land. A little strip of land poised between three continents. In reality, Israel is the center of the world. But it also is a name that has been vilified. Israel has been a target. Still, Israel is beloved for their father's sake, the patriarchs. For the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. Brethren, perhaps it's here at Machpelah where the princes of Israel will begin to be awakened. The resurrection process of humans will begin. Certainly, that earthly resurrection will begin in Israel. Israel was chosen. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen, thus saith the Lord that made thee, and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. But, dear brethren, through the last millennia, Israel has actually been a doormat, trodden down by the Gentiles. But now, thus saith the Lord that created you, O Jacob, and he that formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Because you are precious in my sight, I have honored you and I have loved you. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your seed from the east and gather you from the west I will say to the north, give up. And to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Yes, the time to favor Zion had come in 1878. As Bible students, we know that Petah Tikva was established in 1878, and it was a gate of hope for the early Zionists. Here we see a photo of an early Petah Tikva in 1912, just a few short years before the end of the Gentile times. God was calling his precious people back to his precious land. From the Psalms in Psalm 102 we read, "Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. For thy servants find pleasure in her stones and favor her dust." No place on earth, no place, is called my land like Israel. Her rocks, her fields are filled with history, as the land awaits its destiny. Today, however, there are many who would devise plans, roadmaps to take away the land. Will the blossoms of the fig tree be shaken off because of these troubles? No. 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 God's fig tree will survive. You see, God himself plants his people in the land with his whole heart and with his whole soul. As the prophet Jeremiah said in chapter 32, "Behold, I will gather them out of all countries whither I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in great wrath. And I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me. Yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul." God comforts his people. "For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. And he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. And joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." As we pause at this painting of Hebron, we are reminded of the journey that the patriarch Abraham took. He left Ur with his family. After the death of Terah, he left the area which is at the peak of the Fertile Crescent and traveled toward the land that the Lord would show him. And he entered the land. And he traveled, as we know, to Egypt. And he traveled back to the land. And he settled in a place that was called at that time Kiriath Arba, which was renamed Hebron. It's kind of ironic that when the Israelites of our time return to Hebron, they built a settlement outside of Hebron called Kiryat Arba. Somewhat paradoxical. But that's where most of them live, and it's a settlement in the West Bank. The West Bank. What a misnomer. It is Judea. As I've taught many times, we should say the word Judea. Can you join me? Judea. And north of Jerusalem? Samaria. Samaria. Try it, it sounds better. It was on all the maps before this whole thing happened when Churchill sliced up the land that Brother Larry showed you. Sliced it up. And gave away the eastern part of Israel. Hebron, where the patriarchs live. The area that Netanyahu handed over to the Palestinian Authority. The heartland, the city of David, gave it away. Sad. Very sad. But today, in the midst of present troubles, it may appear that Israel doesn't have much comfort. But the Almighty assures Israel, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps." By whom shall I comfort thee? Brethren, what a privilege to be God's mouthpiece to his people Israel. In the tradition of Brother Russell's Hippodrome Comfort Message, many brethren have done many things to reach out to the Jewish people. They've conducted meetings, large and small. This one at the Laron Hotel was attended by close to 1,200 people. They set up chairs for 800. Remember the testimony? The people themselves were carrying the chairs in and filling up the other 400 places. And then after that, they sat on the floor, all over the room. Biblical Zionists came to see a biblical Zionist presentation by Christians. And they distributed literature and videos, and many of you have done the same, even to libraries, to personal acquaintances. And through ads and newspapers in various ways, these media have been given to Jewish people all over North America and Eastern Europe, even to South America, to Russia, and of course, to Israel. What a privilege to comfort God's people.
Thank you.
It's hard to imagine that in the year 1910, as this picture shows, 4,000 people who are Hebrew in background were participants in a request presentation by our Pastor Russell. Hard to imagine. It's hard to imagine that they would go there and be somewhat, maybe skeptical and tense. But by the time the presentation was finished, they were with him. They understood where he was in the presentation. And what a privilege it is to be God's mouthpiece to comfort his people, Israel. You know, Isaiah continues in the 51st chapter, and I encourage you to read it because he speaks there of how God speaks affectionately to Israel. But nevertheless, the imagery is powerful. Therefore, hear now this, thou afflicted, saith the Lord, thy Lord, the Lord, and thy God, that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. But I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee. Is there any doubt that this representation of an organization that has been, you know, heavy-handed against the saints of the Most High has also been heavy-handed in their encouragement, whether purposeful or not, of hostility against the natural seed through centuries and centuries? And the scripture continues, which have said to thy soul, bow down that we may go over. This is in Isaiah 51. They're not my words. Can we doubt that these individuals, as we heard from the 83rd Psalm today, Brother Larry reading, have not said, bow down that we may go over, or maybe move into the Mediterranean or something like that, go back to Poland? And thou hast laid thy body as the ground, and as a street to them that went over, the quartet. They have their own game plan, their own roadmap. Will it prosper? Brethren, at this time, the comforters are also to be perceived as watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem. We read in Isaiah 52, as Brother Larry mentioned to us this morning, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. Brethren, just as we are the watchmen of Isaiah 52, who lift up our voices and say, thy God reigneth, we are also the watchmen of Isaiah 62. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest. Isn't that ironic? He that watches Israel, neither slumbers nor sleeps, and yet we're not allowed to give him rest. That's peculiar. Keep not silence, give him no rest, till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. So, just as we are to keep praying for the kingdom, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are praying for this kingdom. We should watch and pray with the natural seed of Abraham for the establishment of Jerusalem as the capital, as he has promised, of this kingdom. And we'd like to ask at this time our Brother Larry to take us to the throne of grace to pray for Jerusalem that it may be made a praise in the earth. And in the spirit of Brother Ed's opening prayer, indeed, to pray for the true peace of Jerusalem. Let's join him in a word of prayer.
Almighty God, Eternal Father, hallowed be thy most holy name. We come before thee in unison of heart, to lift up our incense unto Thee, the God of Israel, and our Father. To pray, Father, for the hopes and dreams, the fruition of the promises given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and given to all those, Father, of the seed of Abraham. We're thankful, Father, to be part of the promise of the Abrahamic seed through Christ Jesus our Lord, that will bless all the families of the earth if we're faithful. But likewise, as there's the stars of heaven clasped, there's the sands upon the sea. We pray at this time, Father, for those who are so courageous that they've left many lands to go to a land that you've promised them, like Abraham did. The Aliyah from various lands, and now coming to places, Father, where they have not had work or jobs as they had in the more comfortable surroundings. Let us pray for them and pray for those who every day go out on the streets of Jerusalem, not knowing if they will come back, or their wives or their children. Let us pray, Father, for those who weep, those who've been touched by the anger of hatred that they have for Thy people. But yet, Father, he that is with Israel is greater than he that is against it. We pray that you will direct the issues there, continue to direct the issues for the promises, the fulfillment of those promises that you've given to them. For the world has long waited for the hope of Israel, and for the word of the Lord to go forth from Jerusalem. We pray, Father, that we might be instrumental in whatever capacity you may wish to use us, as we are instructed by Thy eye and Thy word, to know what it is you would have us to do, to give comfort and consolation to the people of Israel, to encourage them to continue for the hope and the promises that they have taken into their hearts more and more. And we pray for those, Father, that haven't fully realized those promises, that they may yet, even in this country and other countries, go to the land as you open up the territory for the people of Christ. We thank you and praise you for all these things, and we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Yes, we are to pray for the true peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. It's hard to imagine the stress that those people are living with. But the Lord promised He would bring them back to their land, and He's done that. And there are still more to come. They come earnestly with zeal. Some use it as a stopping off point to go to much more profitable locations. We need to pray that they too will wake up and see the place where God has provided for them and return to the land. Jerusalem, brethren, is a city that is, and I quote, compact together. Now, what does compact remind us of? In Psalm 122, we read, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. I must tell you a personal story at this moment. Our very first visit to Jerusalem, our guide was very clever, very careful. He brought us to the outside edges of the Mount of Olives on the road, pulled over to a small place, and had us all get out and walk around the corner where we could see Jerusalem. We shared some bread and salt, which was traditional, and we read these scriptures together. And they continue in the psalm, verse 3. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Compact together. It reminds us, of the description of the body of Christ, which is also compacted, isn't it? And from Ephesians 4 we read, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The destiny of Israel and the church do run parallel, one earthly, one heavenly. Just so, Israel waits for its deliverance. And just as it waits for its deliverance, we too wait for the complete deliverance of the church, the body of Christ. No one minds, we'd like to have them come up here. We're going to join them later in the chorus, so I'll tell you.
Yeah.
We realize we are not waiting for those gates to be open for the resurrection to begin, but perhaps they will be open when the resurrection does begin. Literally. But in terms of our own spiritual hopes, it will be a joy to join those beyond the veil. A joy that is unspeakable, a joy that is abundant. The destiny of the world, brethren, lies in the destiny of Israel. When the nations go up to Jerusalem to learn about Jacob's God, they will beat their swords into plowshares, will they not? And their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. And we read in Isaiah 60, violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation, as we sang this morning, and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day. Thy sun shall no more go down, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Brethren, this is the Israel God is planting. This is the Israel we love. This is the Israel we will work with if we are faithful. Israel will bloom, and Israel will blossom. He shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud, and fill the face of the earth with fruit and lettuce and bananas and olives. What a joy. You know, our guide in 1986 told us that Israel grows bananas, clearly. And Sister Rebecca could go back when we show you the bananas again. They grow them. They grow them down by the Dead Sea. They grow them up by Galilee. But you know, the technology of the Israeli is so amazing. He told us that they have developed a way that they can get the growing of a banana seed to have root hairs in all the directions of the compass as if it were spun around. And they can sell an attaché case worth of, this is 1986 money, $100,000 for a suitcase of those seeds to anybody who wants to grow bananas. And that saves enormous time and productivity. That thing is ready to grow. And just think of the way the Lord has given the Israelis an opportunity to share this abundant knowledge, that is to share the fruit. I perceive someone's coming. But before that will actually happen, that's in the text. I can show you.
No, I believe it.
Before that will actually happen, we have some more serious reflection. As John tells us in the book of Revelation, the marriage of the Lamb will actually have come. And John said, there came unto me one of the seven angels, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that city, the holy mountain, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The Christ, bridegroom and bride, will guide Israel with her fathers. They will work hand in hand, teaching the world. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. In the kingdom, Jerusalem will be the throne of the Lord. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem, the Jerusalem we love. Holy Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and by the merit of his blood, we give you thanks, Father, not just because, Father, that you've provided for us to have life through Jesus' sacrifice, and not just because those we know and love will have life, but, Father, because you've provided a sacrifice that will reach to all the ends of the earth and to all ages that have passed before us. Father, we are so thankful. We are so thankful that your plan for the redemption of mankind through Jesus Christ our Lord is something that we know about now and we can rejoice in. And Father, we are thankful that the Israel that you loved for their father's sake is an Israel that we can love also, and a land that we can love also. And we pray that we might have the right spirit, Father, toward those who are the natural seed of Jacob. But Father, we also pray for Zion. We pray for that body of Christ that is yet on this side of the veil, struggling and striving against all odds to be faithful unto death, to be joined together in a unity of the faith, a unity of the spirit, a unity that will allow thy Son Jesus and thee to make your abode with us. Father, we pray for that in our hearts, and we pray for a greater measure of your Holy Spirit, that we in our hearts might give all attention to rooting out anything that defiles us. And Father, we pray that we will lift up our voices where we can for the defense of your word, for the assistance of Israel, and we pray that it will be done as has been prayed already, that your kingdom will come in full power and glory, for we desire the time of the healing of the nations. We desire the time when there will be no more famine for the word of the Lord. We desire the time when the water of life will be offered freely, and those who hear and those who drink will offer to others. Father, we pray for that time with all our hearts, minds, and souls. And we give you thanks, Father, because we know that without your privileges we have through Jesus, we would not have the forgiveness of sin. And we do pray thanksgiving for that forgiveness of sin. Please help us be edified by our conversations one with another, as we continue in this weekend, bless the congregation that made it possible for us to be together. Bless our evening of rest. Bless the day before us and the laborers of the harvest everywhere. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.